Hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast, The Whole Life Project. I am one of your hosts, Luke Ankeny, and I'm along with my wife, Heidi Ankeny, and we are glad that you stopped by today to spend some time with us, to listen or to watch, depending on how you consume your podcast. So the hat I'm wearing today is called Raise for Rare. On Friday, I played in a golf scramble. I'm not a golfer, but I did play in a golf scramble because I got asked to, and I borrowed clubs, and I lost 7 golf balls, and I found 6. But I got this hat. Raise for Rare is an organization. You can look it up. Raise, R-A-Y-S, for Rare, R-A-R-E, is an organization that raises money to help families of medically fragile children. There's over 8,000 medical conditions that are basically undiagnosed, and these families just really struggle to help to meet their medical needs. So this organization comes alongside them to help with other needs they might have to lessen the burden, such as lawn care, snow removal, house projects, things like that. So if you're interested, look up Raise for Rare. It was a fun day.
Why is it Raise? R-A-Y-S. There's a sun on the side.
Yeah, their quote has something about, I don't know it, it's real catchy, about being a ray of sunshine even on a cloudy day or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. And if I actually remembered,
it would make more sense.
It would make even more sense. So we went public last week. Shared out on the social medias. I don't think I like X, so I don't know how much longer I'm going to be sharing on that. I like Instagram.
I'm not even on X.
And I like YouTube, and I like Facebook, so I think I'm just going to stick with those. And we had good response from people, so I know some people started listening because of that, and we're grateful, and hopefully just more people will listen, and hopefully that we'll share something that people can take away.
Yeah.
That's the goal, I think.
That's what you said to me the other day, because I was kind of feeling like, I don't know. Do we really have anything to give? We're kind of dull and boring.
Yes, we are.
Yes. Well, that's not going to change.
That's not going to change.
But you said, even if we say one thing that helps or encourages one person,
yeah,
that's how we have to look at it.
Yeah. And even if that person is me.
Right. That's what I'm going to say.
Or you.
Even if it encourages or helps us.
Because I've also said that the one thing I really enjoy about this is that once a week you and I get to sit down and have a conversation uninterrupted.
Yeah. It's not that we don't talk.
Yeah,
all week
we talk,
long, but to sit down and like really
and have an in-depth conversation
about a specific topic.
I was sharing with one friend, and he said, "Yeah, it's kind of like marriage therapy." It's
like, yeah, us talking
to each other once a week and thinking about things. Not that we need it.
Sometimes
we never do. Know. There's nothing wrong with it.
We've done it.
And then over the weekend, I was able to, I just wanted to share this. Something I'm into is fly fishing, and particularly nymphing. And anyway, the boys and I went fly fishing on the Owyhee River in Eastern Oregon, below the dam, which is one of the best fly fisheries in the United States. And I caught a 6-inch fish. And one of the boys, Braden, caught a 17-inch fish. So I will have to go back and continue to try and conquer the Owyhee. But we had a good time, and Heidi got to stay home and enjoy a day of quiet.
Yep.
It was my early Father's Day gift to myself. I made them all go fishing with
me. You didn't really have to make them.
They wanted to go.
They like doing that.
So one thought, I'm doing a lot of talking, but
that's okay.
I think you're going to do more of the talking later, I hope.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If not, this
not
is going to be
super
really,
talkative today.
This is going to be really short. A thought we had in a conversation we were having the other day, not related to our topic, but indirectly related to our topic, is a question and just the idea that as a society, we don't possibly, and maybe even as Christ followers, but we don't question enough the stuff that is presented to us. I was remembering a book we read called Almost Amish, and I can't remember the author's name, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that's the only book called Almost Amish, and you can find it on the Amazons or wherever you find your books. And one of the things she talked about in that book, and is kind of an Amish lifestyle philosophy. And I know there's other Anabaptist groups that adopt the same approach, is they ask questions. And one of the questions the Amish ask is this good for us? And in particular, like with technology, is this good for us? Will it break down our community? Will we be able to have the lifestyle we want to have? But a lot of that is like, will this break down who we are as a people and the community we have with each other? And I think oftentimes we don't, as a society, we just so blindly adopt stuff that's presented to us
and accept things
without questioning whether or not it's the best for us. And I think for our listeners, that kind of flows through with our main three themes of family, faith, and health and wellness. As a Christian, am I asking that question when things are presented? It might not be something that's written in the Bible, because the Bible was written, 2000 years ago. But I can be able to prayerfully consider something that's presented to me and come to a conclusion of whether or not it's something that's from God, whether or not something that will support my faith, whether or not something that helped me spiritually. The same thing with something with raising kids. Is this something that's good for my kids? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, it's like, well, why would we involve that in our parenting?
Yeah. It's putting everything through the filter or the lens of the Bible. It might not specifically tell us about that thing that we're questioning.
Yeah.
But we can still use that as a lens and a filter to make sure that we're on the right track with it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes just asking that question, is this good for me?
Yeah.
Is this good for my family? Is this good for my community? I think it's just a good question to ask when I see people, like every hot new thing comes out and people are just like scrounging for it. And it's like, well, they pretty sure perception would say they did not stop and question whether or not this was something that was going to be good for them. They just adopted it because everyone says it's okay.
Right.
Well, yeah, the people making money off it are going to say it's okay. And it goes in line with, what are you laughing about?
Just because you're really going on a...
Well, it's kind of one of my soapboxes.
That's what I was looking for. You're going on a soapbox.
And I think in our topic today, which is a health and wellness topic, and we're going to be looking at the foundations of healthy eating, I think for me, that's something that's been helpful, and I ignore myself a lot when I ask myself this question, but is what's presented for me to eat, is this something good for me to eat?
Yeah.
Will it help me get to my health goals? Will it help me to be healthier?
Yeah.
Do you feel like enough people don't ask, what am I trying to say? Do you feel like people ask that question when it comes to their eating in general?
The majority, no.
And do you think that's because they haven't been educated? They just simply don't know, or they just feel like, well, it's being offered and so it must be okay for me.
I think there's some of that. I think there's a lot of people, and we talked about this in another episode. I think I just briefly mentioned it, that a lot of people just genuinely don't know. They don't have knowledge around healthy eating.
Yeah.
And that's surprising to me because it feels so natural and common sense to me because we've been around this and we've done this for so long. Yeah. But it was still a process, I think, for us to get to the point where it feels like, well, why doesn't everybody know this? Mm-hmm. So I think there's some people that are like that. They just don't know. I think there's a lot of people that know better, but maybe, the age group that they're in, they just don't think it's going to hurt them. When you're younger, you're kind of invincible. You can eat whatever. It doesn't put weight on. You think it's not going to hurt you. But there is long-term impacts from that. I think that's part of it too. And honestly, I think some people just don't care. Maybe they give into that, what we talked about one day about, well, I don't have any self-control. I know it's not good for me, but I just have no self-control. And so I ate four pieces of cake.
Yeah, that sounds good.
four pieces of cake sounds good.
I mean, that's right. That's like what cake. People think. Cake's good. So why not? More must be better. Yeah.
And I don't think you'd have to deprive yourself. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like, you can't ever have cake. But I think that they just sort of settle for that mentality that I don't have self-control. I'll just eat it.
Yeah.
Even if I know it's not good.
Right. And they don't think about the ramifications down the road of what it might do for them.
Right.
So getting into the foundations of healthy eating, a health and wellness episode. And I mean, the first thing we want to talk about is hydration and making sure we're drinking enough of what kind of liquids?
Water.
Just water? Can I drink anything else?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think you only ever drink water. Like, you can, we drink coffee.
Yeah.
We drink tea. We drink, like, I have a mixed drink. I shouldn't say mixed drink. This is not an alcoholic mixed drink. She's it's just a drink powder. There are other things that you can drink, but I think water needs to be the primary focus.
And why is that?
Because your body needs water to function. If you're dehydrated, your brain doesn't work properly. Your digestion's not going to work as well. Your skin's going to feel dry and wrinkly and terrible. Like, so much of our body is made of water that we have to replenish that and keep those cells hydrated.
So how much water should a person drink every day?
I think that the main, whoever they are, powers that be, say drink 8 glasses, but that's really, I mean, one person's glass compared to another person's glass is going to be completely different. They might say 8 ounces, I think is what they say, but I generally have always told people to take your body weight and drink half of that in ounces. So if you're a person who weighs 100 pounds, just use that for an easy number, then you would aim for 50 ounces of water a day. And that's just water. That's not counting the other things that you could drink during the day, like this, or like coffee, or like tea, but just water. And then those other things can be on top of that. If you're exercising a lot, or if you're sweating a lot, if it's hot, you live somewhere where it's really humid, then more than that would be.
Yeah. So I think if I go for a long run and I sweat a lot, I'll lose between 3 and 5 pounds of water weight.
Yeah.
Which looks good on the scale, but then if I don't replenish, I get dehydrated and wiped out super quick.
Cramps and tired and sick. Yeah.
So what's the best way to, like right now I'm drinking out of just a glass.
Which
I hardly ever use. Yeah. Most of the time I have a water bottle with me.
Yeah.
And that seems for me to be the best way to track consumption. I know my water bottle has 24 ounces and I have to drink a lot of those every day because
to get to half
of my weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I usually have to end up drinking more than that because I'm exercising as well.
Right. I think that's the best way to do it. And that's so common now. Like it used to never be that you would see people walking around with water bottles. If you were thirsty, you would go to the drinking fountain. Or you would I've seen people making jokes and like, how did we ever survive when we were kids? Cause we just were probably dehydrated all the time, drinking out of the water fountain only at recess. But I think
getting milk at lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the best way to track it is just to have a water bottle and know how much it is. There's little tricks that you can do. Like I've seen you do before where you have rubber bands on your.
Yeah. So I keep start the day with all my rubber bands at the bottom. I think I'd keep 5 on my water bottle. Every time I finished a water bottle, I'll just roll one, move the one at a time up to the top until I got all of them to the top.
Because then you don't have to count and try and remember, did I drink 3 already or 2? Yeah. Mine, I have a bigger water bottle, so I only have to fill mine twice throughout the day to get to my ounces. And so that's easier for me, but I have a lower amount than you too.
What about people who don't like water? They say, I don't like the taste of water.
Water doesn't have a taste,
which is
funny.
But
I mean,
I like how water tastes. Like water, when I drink water, it feels refreshing to me.
Yeah.
And when I was a little kid, I was that way. I just loved drinking water.
Yeah. And I have never had an issue with water either. I love drinking it. I don't know exactly why people say that. I think there could be multiple reasons. I think like my mom is one. And I think it's just for her anyway, her palate has, like, she's got a sweet tooth, and her palate has kind of been trained drinking other flavored things. And so just water being so plain and not having any sweetness or saltiness or flavor to it, she just doesn't like that. So she finds if she adds flavor to her water, she drinks more of it. And you can do that.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't say that counts against your water. Like, just adding lemon or lime or some kind of citrus and get some infusion in there to get a little bit of flavor makes a big difference for a lot of people.
So you have here some tips to stay hydrated. Number one, drink before you're thirsty.
Yeah. If you're thirsty, you're getting too far gone, too far into dehydrated already. I mean, it's a great signal that our body gives us. I need water, but it's almost like it's getting to the point of desperation. Like, we need to do this now. If you stay ahead of it and you don't get to that point, it makes it a lot easier.
Second tip is start your day with water. Yeah. How soon after I wake up, how much do I drink, and why is that important?
I think it's super important because you get very dehydrated while you're sleeping. Your body's doing a ton of work, a ton of repairing, and a ton of detoxing. And when you wake up in the morning, it's super important to, one, it kickstarts your digestion and it gets that whole process awake and ready to go to take in food. But it also just helps to flush out a lot of the toxins and the things that your body was trying to rid of while you were sleeping, helps to wake you up, helps to, wake up your brain. Our brain needs to be super hydrated to function properly. So, first thing in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I just drink, I take a little supplement that I have to take a half an hour before anything else, but I can take it with water. And so I just drink I fill up my water bottle and I probably drink about half of it. I think it would be about 24 ounces, something like that, right away. And then just continue through the day. As soon as you wake up.
So I usually start off my day drinking coffee. I have a little bit of water.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I notice that.
Do you feel it?
I don't feel as good if I'm because I remember when I used to drink at least a water bottle of water before I drank anything else. And that always made me feel better.
Yeah.
So maybe I need to get back to that. Maybe that's my one thing this week that I'm going to work on.
Kind of wake yourself up a little bit more before you have the coffee.
Coffee's
I think
so good.
There's some benefit to delaying coffee too, because it allows the cortisol from your body waking up, that whole wake up process, to sort of settle down before you put more caffeine in you. And that triggers cortisol, which that's a whole nother
topic. That's a whole nother topic of conversation. Yeah, and we could talk about how coffee messes you up probably.
But I also like coffee.
I know.
I'm not going to knock coffee completely. No. Yeah. I think you could also, another tip to that morning coffee is, or sorry, not morning coffee, morning water is add lemon juice to it too. That has a lot of benefits and it's
that kind of gets
it
your
flavor.
Whole system moving, right?
Yep.
That means it'll help you poop.
It could. Yeah. Yeah.
Get your system going.
It does
going.
Get your digestion going. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say poop.
I know you did.
Thank you. So we already talked about keeping a reusable water bottle nearby. I mean, I it's always in my backpack, in my truck, at my desk at work.
Everywhere
I
just you
always
go.
Have it with me.
Yep. Yep.
So if I'm drinking, trying to get all this water and I do have a cup of coffee, isn't coffee, what's the word?
A diuretic.
A diuretic.
Yeah.
It and is. So if I do drink coffee, I have to up my water intake.
I think
is that
a little
true?
Bit. Yeah. There's a lot of controversy on there if that's accurate or not, but I think so. I mean, I know for me personally, coffee makes me have to go to the bathroom, pee. It makes me have to pee a lot and like quick. So I do know that I'm flushing some with that. But I mean, if you're not drinking excessive amounts of coffee and you're getting good hydration and good water in, and I don't think it's that big of an issue.
So we go to the store and fill bottles of water for our drinking water because
with filtered water.
The municipal water supply where we live is not great.
Yeah.
And as
I'm not a fan of tap water.
Tap water
really anywhere unless it's like well water.
Chlorine in it.
chlorine, fluoride.
Fluoride, all kinds of chemicals.
Yeah.
But one of the things we found that when we do go and fill our water jugs in a reverse osmosis, whatever, is that that water then becomes dead water. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And so then we add minerals to the water.
Yeah.
And why is that? What's the difference? Why is dead water bad and why do we need to add minerals back in?
So dead water is a term used for water that has gone through a filtration process. It removes all impurities, but it also removes all of the minerals that are naturally in water from the ground. And our body needs minerals. So if you drink water that has no minerals in it, water wants to be balanced. And when it goes through your body and through your system, it's going to pull minerals out of you, out of your tissues, to balance itself. So it's essentially sucking minerals out of you as it goes through. And that's kind of defeating the purpose of hydrating yourself. You. Yeah. Right. And then you end up depleted. So I actually used to, before I learned this a lot of years ago, before I even went to nutritional therapy school, we were just drinking this filtered water that we were filling our refillable jugs from the store, and I was drinking and hydrating, and I was getting night cramps all the time in my calf.
I remember, yeah,
they would scare you,
like death screams in the middle of the night, jumping out of bed.
So bad, they would make me cry, and then I'd be so sore the next day. But I discovered that because our water was dead, it probably was sucking minerals out of me, and I was deficient in minerals. And so we have now just liquid minerals that we add back into our water from the filtered station at the store. And since we've done that, I have not had a single issue with calf cramps at night or anything like that, because it's replacing what the water wants. So now it's balanced when it's going through me, and it's not going to deplete us.
And adding a little bit of salt to your water might do the same thing.
Yep. Salt's another great way to do it, but not just white table salt. Yeah. It needs to be like Himalayan or real salt is a good brand.
Salt.
Yep. To do that. And just a little dash in your water bottle is going to be really great.
I had another thought and it just escaped me about water. Oh, so if people have wells,
yeah.
I mean, they can test their well water, but a lot of times that's going to have the minerals they need if they're not running it. If, you know, they don't live out in the desert and it's super sulfury where they're running it through a filter.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people that have really good water.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of city water supplies that just because of what they have to do or what they think they have to do. I mean, they have to do a lot just to keep it without the bacteria and stuff in there.
Growing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But people with wells are very aware of that because you do have to test them regularly. Yeah. And so they know what's in their water and mineral content and all of that. Yeah. So,
one other thing we want to talk about is electrolytes. Mm. What are electrolytes?
Well, essentially that's like putting salt in our water, we just talked about. It's adding minerals to your salt or to your water, to your hydration.
That's why I was talking about that. I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. But there's a lot. I mean, it's pretty popular now because there's so many companies that make the little electrolyte packets of salt, flavored salt that you can put in your water. We have some Element. We like that one, but there's a lot of others. Electrolyte drinks that are like pre-made.
So a lot of time when you hear about electrolytes, you hear the big aid would be Gatorade.
Yeah.
And people always talk about you need your electrolytes, drink Gatorade, you know, Powerade.
Yeah.
Other sports drinks. That's what we refer to them.
Yeah.
Why? But because of the amount of sugar in those, it kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, there's going to always be differing opinions on it, but I think those are way too high in sugar.
Yeah.
They also often have dyes and added, you know, preservatives, chemicals, things like that.
Red dye 40.
I just would prefer people not consume when you can do it. I think there's lots of really great at-home recipes too that you can make using coconut water and some other things to flavor it. Or you can just, you know, find the hydration packets, the salt packets that you
I mean, the ones we use, the Element, I believe it's called, they have some really good flavors in this after a workout, especially like right now I'm training for a half marathon. I'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But if, you know, like Saturday I went for an 11-mile run and I mean, I was beat after that and just drop one of those packets in my water bottle, shook it up, drank it, and was feeling better.
Yeah, it really replenishes you well.
Pretty quick.
And I don't think it's something that you have to do all the time.
Yeah, like, I don't.
You don't
do
have
it every
to
day.
Have electrolytes or salt packets in every bottle of water. Yeah. But if you are sweating excessively, if it's really hot out, like our boys doing their workouts, or you know, our youngest just got hired to do yard work at a university and like mowing and stuff, he's going to be out in the sun and he'll probably need that more when you run, things like that. So workouts, summertime, I think those are a great added tool that you can have to keep yourself hydrated.
Anything else about water?
No, I don't think so.
So soda pop's bad. That's what I'm hearing.
I never said that, but yes. I would say yes. I'm not a fan of pop or soda or
Coke.
Pepsi.
It depends on where you live.
Right.
And how you say it. All right. So foundations of healthy eating. Number one was about drinking.
Water.
Yes. So we could have called it foundations of healthy eating and drinking.
Yeah.
But water is the foundation, really, because water, you say start your day with water. So it really is foundational to the rest of it. So now let's move on to eating, unless you have something else that you wanted to say.
No, I'm good to move on.
Eating. First thing here in eating is eating from the earth, plants and whole foods. So, you often hear, like, when you go shopping, you know, shop the outside edges of where all the healthier food are. Mm-hmm. Eat more from there than you do the inside, the processed stuff. And I've heard you say, like, eat something as close to how it was made in nature.
Yeah. The closer your food is to the earth or an animal. Like.
Yeah.
Then
the better off it is. So, so your question here is, you know, your body knows what to do with an apple because an apple is something that was made naturally, but doesn't necessarily know what to do with a Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Even though Pop-Tarts are really good.
I don't know if they are anymore. I used to eat them before track meets, which is probably not a good choice. I mean, there's a whole, that could be a really long discussion, but, you know, part of what we talk about is our health. I think this was this last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about, treating our body like a temple and how God created our bodies to heal and repair. He also created our food to be a tool that our body needs in order to heal and repair. And if you look at the ingredient list of something that's processed, highly processed, Pop-Tart, whatever it might be, the majority of what's listed on there is not an actual food. It's not something from nature created by God to nourish our bodies that our body would recognize as fuel, as energy, an energy source. And so keeping your food, like I said, as close to the animal or the earth, as few ingredients listed, if it has an ingredient list at all, as few as possible on there is always going to be better. It's something that your body is designed by God to recognize as a source of fuel and nourishment.
So the basic thing here is the less processed the food, the better it is for you.
Exactly.
I gotta put my glasses on. So foods from the earth, we're talking about fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, legumes.
Yep.
That's what we're
plant
talking
foods.
About.
Plant foods. Yeah.
Did you know that peanuts grow underground?
I did know that. Did you know that?
I know that now.
Now you do.
The peanuts grow underground, just so everyone knows that. We won't get into how I know that. But
except that like a 5-year-old told you that.
Here's the deal.
Maybe he was older than that.
It wasn't much older, but that's how I learned that. Why does it matter that we eat foods from the earth?
Well, first, I think the biggest thing is they're so full of fiber. Most people in our country, in our world, do not get enough fiber in their diet. A lot of people deal with digestion issues because of that. They don't get enough fiber to help things move regularly. So they're full of fiber. They're full of vitamins and minerals, all of those macronutrients that we need to help our bodies restore and rebuild. Antioxidants, super important too. You know, we hear about blueberries and those kind of things that are so full of antioxidants to help our body fight free radicals. So those are just a few reasons, but like what's in them, why they're important.
Yeah. So what are some simple ways that I can get more plants or someone who's listening can get more of these plants and whole foods directly from the earth into their diet every day?
Yeah. I would say just make sure that you have some of that at every meal. Make sure that you have a vegetable, a fruit at every meal, if at all possible. Try new things. Some people don't like vegetables, but maybe make it a goal each, if you go grocery shopping once a week. I go grocery shopping once a week. And I always look to see if there's something different we don't eat very regularly, and to mix it in, to give your body some variety too.
So you bought a fruit a week or two ago from Mexico.
Yeah.
What was it called? Do you remember?
Lychee. I think that was right.
What wasn't my favorite.
I didn't really care for it either.
I ate it. I tried it.
Something different. Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
But don't be afraid to try new things. But also, because we need variety, like we can't just eat carrots every day. You can't just
need some variety.
We do need to add some variety and some color. And then other things that you can do, you know, I'm not saying you have to have a salad at every single meal. That's not the only way to get vegetables. Sure. You can add vegetables to soups. You can add greens to soups really easily. In the cooler months, I do that a lot. Smoothies, people get a lot of fruits and veggies through doing like a protein smoothie.
Yeah. You can do a smoothie with that's more fruit based, but toss some spinach in there too. And you hardly even know the spinach is in there.
Yeah.
Sure. What about, so one of the things that we've heard about before is how people say like, well, my kids just won't eat vegetables. Mm-hmm. I mean, I joked in one of the other episodes about someone saying, what is an avocado to us? Because their kids didn't know what the avocado was. And what I have found, and jump in, what I have found is like adults who don't eat vegetables have a really hard time getting their kids to eat vegetables.
Yeah.
We never had a problem because we always had vegetables. We always ate them and we always provided them and said, and my philosophy was like my house, my food without saying it. I think we talked about this as well. Like the food's on the table. Right. That's what you're eating. We're not making something else and you're not getting anything else, but that's what food is today.
Yeah. I was never going to be a short order cook. Like you're having mac and cheese and you're having this and you wanted this. And we have always made one meal for all five people, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And you know, sometimes our kids would have say like, even still when I'm making my menu for the week, I'll ask them, hey, is there anything you want for a dinner this week or whatever? They have a say in, offering suggestions for meals, but what you cook is what you eat.
But a lot of times that's the main portion of the meal. And then you're adding the vegetables,
but they always eat vegetables.
Now they like vegetables and they eat them just because they've grown up with that. And they know it's important. They may not, you know, like when they're at college cooking on their own, always have vegetables, but when they're here, they eat them. So animal foods, quality and balance of animal foods. So is meat bad for you?
No.
No, but some people argue that it might be.
They do. Yeah. And some people, I mean, you know, so say a vegetarian, like some people have different reasons for eating that way, or a vegan, I should say, either way, but they have reasons. Sometimes it's ethical. Sometimes it's maybe because of like what you're referring to. They think that meat is bad for you. I always respect people who do their research.
Yeah.
And if you feel very convicted to eat that way, then by all means. But in my opinion, and with my education, God created animal foods as a complete source of protein for us. You can get protein from plants, yes. But plant proteins are incomplete. So simple way of explaining that is a protein is made of amino acids, and meat has the complete 9 essential amino acids, a meat, animal protein. plant proteins don't have all 9 amino acids. And so you have to get the right combinations of those to make up for that. And there's some balance that has to happen there. Otherwise, you find yourself depleted in one or more of the amino acids. And a lot of times, people who eat vegan or vegetarian for a number of years, they might feel great at the beginning because their body is flushing and cleaning, and you're eating better generally than you were before. But over the years, a lot of times they end up finding that they have deficiencies, or they start getting sick and they start having issues. And some of that could be back to the fact that they are not getting all of those, the complete amino acids. Yeah.
So I was remembering a funny incident one summer when I was on staff at a summer camp, and we did family style eating at the cafeteria. So there's usually one adult per table with 7 of the campers, high school kids. And I remember this one lunch, it was meat was, I don't know what the meat was, but it was meat was being served. And I asked this one girl, I was like, "Hey, aren't you going to eat?" And she goes, "No, I'm a vegetarian." I didn't want to get into it, but I may have said something about the soda and the Doritos that she had brought with her about, do you really think like that's the healthiest option?
Yeah.
For someone that, because a lot of times with vegetarians, they're saying, well, I'm going to choose to eat fruits and vegetables and be healthy.
Right.
Like a more holistic approach, not, you know, soda and Doritos, and that's their vegetarian diet.
So her whole premise for that, I don't know, I'm just speculating, may have been more of an ethical thing. She thinks that the treatment of animals is not right. She doesn't agree with killing animals to eat them, and so she was just going to eat anything but meat, and it happened to be Doritos.
And I think with that, with the ethical thing, I mean, there is some of that in some of these big slaughterhouses, but
for sure,
you know, like the people I know, the smaller family farms that raise beef, I mean, they
treat their animals very well,
correct, and they're even the butcher process is very highly ethical and respects the animal. So
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I think that's an important piece of eating meat is like, it's all God's creation.
Yeah.
And so we need to be grateful for it and take care of it and nurture it and then use it well.
So how much meat should I be eating? The other night, I pretty much just had meat for dinner.
Yeah.
And then I forgot. I mean, I had meat and baked beans, I think. I forgot the other stuff.
Yeah.
But so how much meat?
Well, beans are a legume. And that's so there's true. Some fiber there and some nutrients. There. Yeah. Yeah.
So what about how much meat should I have like on my plate?
I think a general rule of thumb is like the size of your palm, which on a plate would be about a quarter of the plate. That's typically going to be for a person's body and needs a good amount per meal.
So shouldn't it dominate the plate? It should be kind of a...
Yeah, yeah. Because you need the variety. You're not going to get absolutely everything that you need from the protein. You also need those carbs, good carbs, and...
Is there another thought there?
No, I don't, just left
you stopped
me.
On and.
I did, and.
Dot, dot, dot.
It left and me. Then I have no idea what I was going to say.
The thought has left the building.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that's important is that for people that are into exercise and into not just the nutritional part of health and wellness, but into the exercise part of health and wellness, how do animal foods help fuel that athlete? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the most important part is the recovery piece, because when you exercise, you're breaking down muscle and your body needs protein and the amino acids and the nutrients that are in the meat, in the animal product, to rebuild muscle. And so when those tissues are torn down, if you're not getting enough to repair, you're not going to recover as fast. You're not going to be able to train as hard.
So just like with other foods, meat can also be ultra processed.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of my Oscar Mayer bologna.
Oh, do they even make that anymore?
I don't know, but it's really good. And I haven't had it for 40 years, probably 30 years. I'm assuming with meat, it's equally as important to try to get, you know, meat that looks like meat, right, or as close to the cut as possible. You know, I think of it in terms of chocolate. I'd rather have a really good piece of chocolate instead of a Tootsie Roll. So with meat, I'd rather have a really good steak instead of a hot dog.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it is important. Chicken isn't supposed to look like a dinosaur.
Or a nugget.
Right? Like, I get you're trying to, they're appealing to a child's, you know, imagination or whatever, sure, making it fun to eat chicken. But it's super, super processed. And you look at the ingredients, what else is in there? It's not just chicken. Right. It's not just beef in a hot dog, right? It's like, there's a whole lot of other chemicals and preservatives and byproduct that go into a lot of meat sources. So for sure, being aware of the quality, and if you're able even to go so far, and I understand financially people have to make a decision what's best for their family. If you're able to go so far as grass-fed, organic, you know, that kind of stuff with your meat sources, local farmers, finding people in your area that have meat and eggs and dairy that are from their family farm, that's going to be a lot better choice than something, you know, out of the freezer section at Walmart.
That's true. So what about fish? You know, we're talking about animal foods, quality, yeah, and balance.
Yeah.
Fish. Is fish lumped in there,
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, I include that in there too. Okay. Fish has a lot of, especially the oily fishes like sardines.
We eat a lot of
wild caught salmon. Yep. Those have a lot of omega-3s, and those are super important. Most people are deficient in omega-3s, have way too many omega-6s, and when you throw that out of balance, it causes all kinds of issues.
Yeah, you're talking gibberish right now.
So
everyone else understands, I'm
fish
sure.
Fish is lumped into that.
Fish is good for you.
Yes.
The right
and,
fish.
And again, finding good quality. Yeah, if you're able to do fresh versus farmed, that's definitely going to make a
What's
big difference.
What's the difference between omega-3 and omega-6, just for my knowledge?
Well, you don't really want me to go into...
Okay.
Yeah, you don't... Just omega-6s are going to come more from things like seed oils and, you know, the bad oils,
yeah,
that people hear about a lot. And you know I talk about that a lot.
Yes.
And we just get way, way, way too much of them. Our body does use them, but there's a balance that has to happen. And we have too many of the omega-6s.
So
they cause a lot of inflammation. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
Okay.
So talked about hydration,
mm-hmm,
talked about, earth plant, what do we call it? Earth plants.
No, earth
we
plants.
Called about eating from the earth, plants and whole foods, and
yep,
then animal foods, quality and balance with our animal foods.
Yep. And I honestly, let me just interrupt you for a second too. We've mostly been talking about meat, you know, animal foods. A lot of people think meat, like beef, chicken,
oh, sure,
fish, but I'm also including dairy in there.
I do think eggs.
Yep. Dairy has a place. If you're looking at the quality and the source, where we live, we can get raw milk, which I know is controversial for some people.
Yes,
but it is gaining a lot more popularity.
I grew up drinking raw milk from the farmer across the street.
And I think there's a lot of benefit to that. We don't drink it, but I do use it here for different things. And so, including dairy, if you can tolerate it, some people's digestion is not in a place where they can tolerate a lot of dairy. But eggs for sure too are lumped into
like 5 dozen eggs a week or something crazy number.
Yeah. When everybody's here.
Yeah. And you know, I think when we think about meat, we talk a lot about beef, chicken, pork. Those are probably kind of the big three, and then, fish. But there's also, there's a lot of people that eat goat meat.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people that, rabbits becoming more popular.
Yeah.
And, you know, snake, I think, is the other white meat.
Never had it.
I had it a long, long time ago. I think there's other options
there's
out
a lot,
there.
Yeah,
I've
sure.
never,
deer,
I've never had
people
possum,
do venison,
but I know people
they
do. But yeah,
elk,
they're,
like,
they're
there's a lot
deer,
of options.
Elk, moose, bear, other big game.
Yeah.
So there are options for getting the meat.
Yeah.
And some of that, I mean, it's back to the hunter-gatherer thing where you're actually going out, you plant a garden, you're gathering, mm-hmm. you're, you know, going hunting for deer, elk, or moose, or bear, or whatever the case may be. You're, you know, kind of tuning into your primal instincts and saying, I'm going to have a hand in the food that my family yeah. eats. And I think there's something important to that.
Yeah. No, there really
or,
is.
Or a farmer that's a rancher that's raising beef and eating that. I think there's more of a connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, the food's not traveling as far. I think all that stuff, again, probably not enough time to get into all of it, but I think all that stuff's super important.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And there actually is really, it's pretty cool if you think about something that I've been really wanting to lean into more is eating seasonally. It's so convenient now. We have grocery stores. You can eat whatever you want any time of year. But our bodies get information from food. And then our food gets information from sunlight, from the ground, from the water that it receives. So we actually can confuse our bodies by eating, say, a watermelon in January in Minnesota, right? Like that's not
your body's thinking summertime,
right? The food is telling your body summer food,
yeah.
summertime, and your body is receiving winter sunlight.
Yeah.
And that's a conflicting message. It's a really interesting thing, but yeah, we don't definitely want to go into that.
All right. So hydrate first and then build your plate with these other things.
Right.
So just super simple. Someone's watching, they're a fast food family or they're a mm-hmm. microwave dinner family or they're a snack family, you know, grew up thinking one thing, maybe want to change to try to be healthier.
Yeah.
How do they build their plate for a meal? Let's just say dinner.
Again, I would say just keeping it super simple and as close to the earth and the animal as you can. So choose a protein. What's one protein, one meat source that or animal source that your whole family likes? It may be chicken. And so you bake some chicken breasts in the oven and you have a piece of chicken and then a vegetable and a grain. Maybe it's quinoa, maybe it's whole brown rice. Something that we've actually started doing is cooking wheat berries.
Yeah, and that's using, just the kernel of wheat for
it's,
those.
Yes. It's just the kernel, the whole is. Kernel of wheat. It's not ground or anything. It's
really good.
They're really good. And it's almost like a chewier rice.
Yeah.
But it's the whole
butter and salt on there.
Yeah. So some sort of a whole grain like that is fine to have with a meal, but making sure that you have plenty of vegetables. And if you're not a family that's used to cooking at home, just start with one a week. Just sure. pick one meal that you think everybody's going to like these items and do that one.
And if you have children, you can include them in that right. process of making the dinner. And I think right. that helps them to be more yeah. involved in the eating process as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Anything else with that? Just how to build your plate and your meal?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you really, like I said, keep it pretty simple and just choose a chicken or a fish and try out some different vegetables. Maybe make some homemade rolls or yeah. have a slice of homemade bread.
One of the things we eat a lot of, especially in the wintertime, is these just hard, I call them hearty soups.
Yeah.
But just soups with just a lot in there. And you're almost, I mean, the whole meal is
yep.
really
in a bowl.
In the bowl.
And yeah. It's usually
it's simple.
Got the meats, the yeah, vegetables, the carbs. Yeah.
And we might add something on the side, a roll or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things that's important, right, is learning to listen to your body's hunger, fullness, energy levels. I'm not really in tune with that. I'm trying to get better, but I'll yeah. just keep going because I like food.
Yeah.
Or I crave things that I shouldn't have. But I think that's something that's important for people is just to say, hey, I need to be more in tune. And what I've found is when I do eat better, that my body is actually craving more of this healthier foods.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, finally you figured it out. This is what I want.
And probably you're noticing more appropriate amounts. So
yeah.
because when we don't eat clean, nourishing, healthy foods on a regular basis, it's almost like it blocks the communication from our gut to sure. our brain. And our body does not know that we've had enough, that it's not good for us. Like, it clouds your decision making really when it comes to your food, and it's so easy to overeat. When you start eating better, it opens up that communication, and your body can more easily say to you, I've had enough, or this is really good for me. And when you really get in tune with your body, you can even know, like, there will be certain days where I've probably said it to you, like, I am craving avocado.
Yeah,
I could eat like 2 whole avocados in a day because my body is needing that. And so getting to a point where you listen to that, and that takes time. But the more you eat the healthier, cleaner foods, the better your body is able to communicate what it needs, and you can learn to listen.
And then I'll say something like, I am craving ice cream.
Right.
But then,
and all the boys say, yes, let's go.
And then we should say no.
Yeah.
Is what we should say.
Yeah.
But I do find, like, especially fruit, I love fruit. Blueberries right now, I really like blueberries. Mm-hmm. Grapes, strawberries. I mean, I just sit down with a bowl of blueberries and eat them.
And here's the funny thing is, you probably might not even realize that your body is recognizing those things are in season, most likely.
That's true, huh?
And that's why they're tasting so good. They're sweeter. They have more flavor. It's part of what you are supposed to be eating right now.
True story. Did not think about that. So, oh my gosh, I just had a leg cramp. I'm sorry.
You need some more minerals.
I need some more minerals in my water. I need some more water. So someone's eating okay or someone's not eating okay, and they want to change the way they eat.
Yeah.
They want to be better. They want to take some of these simple steps of foundations of healthy eating and apply those in their lives. What's the first thing that you would encourage them to do?
The first thing I think I would encourage them to do is to clean out their pantry.
Oh yeah. We've done that before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get rid of the stuff that's bad.
Get rid of the sugary things, the highly processed things, the seed oils, you know, canola oil, sunflower oil, all of those bad things. And then one thing that I think is really, really helpful for people is to plan a menu for when you're going grocery shopping. If you shop once a week, just write out every day, what do you have in breakfast, lunch, dinner? And that's what you shop for. That way you have more control when you're going down the aisles, and you know what you need, and you know that it's good for you because you're cooking nourishing meals. There's so many recipes online that you can look up and find really simple meals to fix for families, for individuals, it doesn't matter. But I think that's a really big key. That's something that we've always done is meal plan. I don't prep meals. I cook the day of. I'm not a fan of meal prepping. I know a lot of people love it. Yeah. And I think that's awesome that they do that. But I think just planning out your week and grocery shopping only for what you need for those meals is really helpful for staying kind of on track.
And then maybe one other thing is just start with one thing.
Yeah.
Just like if you want to do a better job this week of, like me, I'm going to start by trying to do a better job of drinking water when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like you said, start with one meal a week where you're trying to be better. Mm-hmm. And then
maybe you already cook, but maybe you don't eat vegetables. Maybe you're great at cooking meat or casseroles. Yeah. And so just pick 2 new vegetables to try in a week. Something simple.
Because a balanced diet might be like ribs, smoked sausage, and a hamburger. Because that seems like a pretty balanced meal to me.
Yeah.
But maybe adding some vegetables to that would be better.
Yeah.
And some legumes.
I would. Yeah. Okay.
That's what you're saying. Heidi, Foundations of Healthy Eating. We went quickly through it. We covered a lot of different things, but I think that's good. Good tips for people, whether they're doing that already or whether they're interested in eating better.
Yeah. It's a constant process, and it's a daily decision that you have to make, even if you've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
But I think everybody, you just have to start simple. I think that's my biggest tip, is just start simple. It gets so overcomplicated with all the information that we have at our fingertips and all the experts that are out there. You just have to trust yourself and keep it very, very simple.
Well, I think keep it simple. And then really, I mean, what I've heard and what I mean, just today, but also just in, you know, just sharing life with you is that really, I mean, less processed, that's simpler. Mm-hmm. Food the way it was, as close to its original form, that's simpler.
Food the way God created it.
Yeah, I mean, we may live in busy, crazy times, but our food doesn't have to be.
Right.
Our food can be super simple and
very nourishing.
And remember, like, the people pushing you to eat processed foods or the sugary drinks, they're the ones profiting from it.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, oh, this is going to be conspiracy. Uh-oh. But in a lot of cases, the same company that's creating that is also has investments in
funding,
medical and pharmaceutical and all these different things. So they
that
really
treat the diseases that you get from eating the bad foods.
They control the whole process.
That's not conspiracy.
That's not. I mean, I don't want to go too far into that right now. Just eat a whole healthy, balanced diet. So you can find us online at the WLP podcast. Primarily, it's going to be Instagram, YouTube, and then Heidi and I's personal Facebook page. We may add a Whole Life Project Facebook group. Email thewholelifeprojectpodcast@gmail.com. We appreciate you listening. If you listen on whatever platform it is, it looks like right now most people audio listeners,
yep,
are listening on Apple Podcasts. So we appreciate all of our listeners, but also those of you tuning in on Spotify and Google Podcasts and however you may be listening, we appreciate that. And for those that are watching on YouTube, we appreciate that as well. The last thing, unless you have something else.
No, I think we're good.
Just encourage you this week to seek God, to serve your family, and to strengthen your body with foundations from healthy eating. Have a great week.